Well, if this is your first time, or just your first time in a while, we've been studying the Jehovah names of God, and we're paralleling them with the description of the shepherd in Psalm 23. And we probably, I think we're all pretty familiar with Psalm 23, and we know that it's a psalm that describes a sheep being taken care of by a good shepherd. I think we would all say that we know the Lord, and we know that He's a big God. But the purpose of this study has been to bring these two truths together and to see that God as big as the God we have, the Jehovah God, is also a very personal, relational God. So He's not just an idea that we can fit into a neat little package, or as we've been saying, like in a beautiful place close to our heart, like in a locket. And He's not just a thought that we pull out and think about when things get tough, but He's a big God who's involved in our lives like a shepherd whose life work is to care for His sheep. And Psalm 23 is a description of a sheep being cared for every day by a good shepherd. And we're told even before we begin reading the psalm that the writer is David. And David, as you know, is a shepherd. So when he talks in the sheep shepherd terminology, he's really coming from a lot of experience. He knew the characteristics of sheep. He knew what it was to be a good shepherd. And when he found that just like those helpless, defenseless sheep he cared for, that's who he was. And he found the Lord to be the kind of shepherd that he needed all throughout his life. And so he paints this picture for us of what an everyday life in the care of the shepherd looks like. But the psalm starts out with the words, the Lord, in all caps, the Jehovah God, the self-existent one, the covenant-keeping God of redemption. So this is the way the psalm begins. Other psalms start out with the words, praise the Lord, or blessed is the man, or even the words why or how long. But this psalm starts out with the words, the Lord, and He's the theme of the whole psalm. In fact, in just six verses, he's referred to either by name or by the pronoun he or you 12 times. So this whole psalm is about the Lord in all caps. It's a description of who He is and what He's doing in our lives. And the psalm really starts out with the name Jehovah Rohi, so which means the Lord is my shepherd. And the ending I in the word Rohi makes it personal. So He's my shepherd. So He's not the shepherd, or He doesn't even say the Lord is your shepherd. One of the Jehovah names of God truly means that He is my shepherd. And we can each say that. And if you glance through the psalm, this is the only word that's used to describe the shepherd. We see Him doing a lot of things, making me to lie down in green pastures and restoring my soul, leading me. But the only time David describes the shepherd himself is when he says He's my shepherd. So before David even starts telling us anything about the shepherd, he establishes the fact that he belonged to his shepherd and the shepherd belonged to him. David was saying, this is my shepherd, not that shepherd over there or this over there. The Lord is my shepherd. And David was his sheep, his special object of care for life. And so he starts out the psalm with the name, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And the first thing he says about being in the care of his shepherd is, I shall not want. The name Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's saying, I have everything I need, and I will always have everything I need. You know, it takes a lot of faith to be able to say that. But his faith was based on the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. And every bold, confident statement that David says throughout this psalm really goes back to that truth. If the Lord, in all caps, Jehovah, was his shepherd, David was sure that he would be the Lord his provider, Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He says he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. So we find David in verse 2 completely satisfied in the care of his shepherd. And you would think, being so content and having such a good shepherd, one who is Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shalom, that the sheep would be constantly at rest, constantly lying down in green pastures and drinking by still waters. But notice the next phrase in verse 3. It says, He restoreth my soul. So even though the sheep knows what it is to be at rest, he fully knows what it is to need his soul restored. It's like David is saying between the lines, kind of what he says between the lines throughout the whole psalm, that he, like a sheep, he's weak. And he's so weak that even though the shepherd provides for him and gives him peace, there are times when his soul needs restored. So right in the midst of this beautiful picture of a sheep lying down in peace, he says the Lord restores his soul. And the word soul means the inner person. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." The soul is everything about us. And the condition our souls are in really affects the rest of our life. And even though we love the place of peace and lying down in green pastures, there are times when we can wander away from that rest. In fact, in Jeremiah, God said, "My sheep have forgotten their resting place." And there are times when we forget that we don't have to be troubled, that we can remain at peace because he is the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom. But when we do forget, the Lord restores our soul. And so part of the daily work of our shepherd is to constantly watch out for our souls, to make sure that if they need to be restored, he'll come along and restore them. And the word restore means to take something that's been beat up, worn, or rejected and make it useful again. Which is, that's essentially what it means for something to heal. And among all these other Jehovah names we've been studying, he's also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And this name is found in Exodus chapter 15. So we'll turn there, Exodus 15. You know, when we looked at the names Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shalom in the Old Testament, these were names God's people gave to a certain place as an expression of who they discovered God to be. But this time, God himself says that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And we'll start in verse 22 of Exodus 15. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" And in Hebrew, that's the name Jehovah Rapha. So as the Israelites are just beginning their journey to the promised land, he reveals this new name to them. "I am the Lord who heals you." And they would be met with a lot of brokenness. They knew a lot of brokenness in Egypt. And even at this point in their lives, they needed healing from all that they had been through. But the Lord was the one who would restore their souls. He was going to take what was beat up, worn and rejected, and make them useful again. He was going to make them the kind of nation that he intended them to be. And that's why their obedience was so important. In verse 25, he says that he made for them a statute and an ordinance to keep his commandments. But it also says that he tested them. You know, he had a few things to teach them as they began their journey. And that's really the purpose of this story. This is just 3 days after the people crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians were completely destroyed. It was this miraculous deliverance. But now they find themselves in the hot desert. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, and they need water. But God had led them to water that was bitter. And so they complain to Moses, and Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord shows him a tree. And when Moses cast the tree into the water, it became sweet. And the story actually pictures what their true need was. The Israelites at this point were coming from 400 years of bondage. All of God's dealings with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were just stories to this generation. They were just promises that they had heard about. But life had been bitter. And even though God had just delivered them from their bitter experience, there was still bitterness in their hearts. And that's why they murmured so easily. And that's why this isn't the last time we find them murmuring. You know, they needed their bitter hearts healed. But God revealed himself to them by this new name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, I am the Lord who healeth thee. But God, led them to the bitter waters and then made them sweet so that he could show them this living parable as they began their journey. Just as he had to be the one to turn bitter, undrinkable water into something useful, he had to be the one to step into their bitter experiences and make it sweet. You know, only the Lord can take hurts and harbored hurts, which is really just that's the definition of bitterness, and can restore the soul. And we don't really have to live very long to know that life has its hurts. And we don't have to live much longer than that to realize that there's not a lot of truth in the saying, time heals everything. You know, life has its bitter experiences, and sometimes it's too deep to wait for time to heal it. So, you know, we often go to our comfort foods, you know, those temporary things that make us feel better. But it's really only the Lord who heals. That's really the only place where we'll find our souls restored, the only way to have bitter hurts turned into something sweet. And God was teaching the Israelites that he was big enough to trust and compassionate enough to heal, even when life was bitter. You know, to say that he's the Lord who heals means that he's the God who is aware of all of the brokenness and the sin in our world. And he's the one that can restore it to its normal, useful state. You know, we have many incidents throughout Scripture and even throughout history of times when the Lord heals physically and emotionally and spiritually. And one day in the future, all will be restored to its normal, useful state. But for now, brokenness still remains in our world. And I think it's just to remind us of the effects of sin and what redemption is all about. But true healing really can only come from him. And that was what he was teaching them here. But another lesson he was teaching them as well. He talks about being the God who heals them in contrast to the fact that he had brought diseases on the Egyptians. And he tells them if they will follow his commands, he won't bring the same things on them that he had brought on the Egyptians. Now, the Lord was the one who led them to the bitter waters. But he was warning them that it was possible to walk into a bitter experience themselves through their own wandering and disobedience. And in order to bring his people back, sometimes he has to wound. In Job chapter 5, it says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he makes sore and binds up. He wounds and his hands make whole." Other times in the Old and New Testament, the Bible repeats the encouragement to not despise the chastening of the Lord. He chastens in love. And the Lord's chastening isn't the same thing as punishment. And this is really important. Punishment is payment for sin. And that was taken care of at the cross. If we were suffering punishment when painful things happened to us, then Christ's death really was in vain, because we're told he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. So the wrath of God was satisfied. He doesn't punish us when we fail, but sometimes he chastens, and chastening is just God putting us back on the right path, correcting us, and sometimes that correcting can feel like a wound. But wounds heal. Hosea says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten us and he will bind us up." And really the emphasis in this verse, as well as the one in Job, they're very similar, isn't that he wounds, but that he heals. And that's really the emphasis of what he's saying here. It isn't that he might bring diseases upon them if they're disobedient, but that he's the God who heals them, no matter what they might have to go through first. You know, there's no Jehovah name of God in Scripture that says, "I am the Lord who wounds," or even, "I am the Lord who corrects or disciplines his people." But we do have a name right here that says, "I am the Lord that heals you." And there's another lesson from a sheep that illustrates this truth. You know, even though sheep are dependent creatures, they wander very easily. And there are times when a particular sheep wanders off so much that the shepherd actually has to break its leg to teach it to follow him. So the shepherd will break its leg and he'll bind it up, and then he'll carry the sheep close to himself while it heals. And during that healing process, the sheep is learning the love and the voice of the shepherd in a way that he couldn't have learned it otherwise. And so he breaks the leg in order to heal. in order to restore his sheep. You know, we all know what it's like to go through painful experiences. We can't escape them because we live in a broken world. And sometimes that's the only reason we go through certain things. It's just we live in a broken world. And I don't think we should analyze and try to come up with, you know, all the reasons why we've had to go through certain things. But I think there's wisdom in looking at painful things, whether it's just a bitter experience that God has led us into or God correcting us, as really just an opportunity to trust that God is the Lord who says himself that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And that was the emphasis here, and that's really the emphasis of painful experiences. He can step into our bitter experiences, and he can make them sweet. And if we've wandered ourselves onto a bitter path or a loved one has wandered, he has ways of bringing us back to himself. He restores our soul because he is the God who heals. Well, there's another time in our lives when we often find our souls needing restored, and this probably happens the most often, at least for most of us. And we have an example of this in Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, we find a psalmist needing to have his soul restored. He wasn't where David was in Psalm 23 yet. In Psalm 42 and verse 5. The psalmist says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me." And then verse 11, he says it again, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." It even says it again in the next psalm, Psalm 43 and verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, David in Psalm 23 had obviously asked himself this question before. Why are you cast down, O my soul? David knew what it was like for his soul to be cast down. But he also knew what it was like to have his soul restored. And it seems like he was stepping away from the sheep analogy in Psalm 23 when he suddenly says, "He restoreth my soul." But he really wasn't. There's actually a condition a sheep can be in that's called being cast or cast down. A cast sheep is a sheep that has somehow rolled over on its back. And when a sheep gets in that condition, he can't roll back over on his own. He just has to lie there with his feet sticking straight up in the air. It's kind of a funny picture. You can even Google cast sheep and see pictures of sheep lying on their backs like this. But I don't really recommend looking for pictures very long. Because if a sheep has been cast for very long, it's not long before they're just covered in their own blood. Because when they're cast, that's when they're the most helpless. They're pretty helpless animals already, but when they're cast down, they're the most helpless. They can't get back on their feet again, and so they're most at risk of being attacked by wild animals. And their organs are starting to shut down because the circulation is being cut off. And wild animals know that when they find a sheep in this condition, they know that the sheep is a long ways from the shepherd. So they're easy prey. Cast sheep is really a very serious problem. In fact, shepherds say that one of their biggest tasks is to be constantly watching to be sure that none of their sheep are out cast somewhere. And we actually have an example of this in the New Testament in Luke chapter 15. This is the parable of the shepherd who went looking for his one sheep out of 100 who was missing. Luke chapter 15. In verse 3, it says, "And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." So what's actually happening here is that the shepherd is restoring a cast sheep. Whenever a shepherd realizes that a sheep is missing, his first thought is that his sheep is cast somewhere, just lying there helpless. So this shepherd notices that one sheep is missing, and he goes searching for that one cast sheep. And I'm told that a shepherd will actually go running to find the sheep because every second is crucial. A cast sheep is only getting worse by the minute. At any minute, he could be attacked by a wild animal. His organs are shutting down. But look at what Jesus says a shepherd does when he finds the sheep in verse 5. It says, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And he lays the sheep on his shoulders because the circulation in the sheep's legs has been cut off, and the sheep can't walk yet. And so the shepherd puts the sheep around his neck so he can start working on its legs to get the circulation going again. But as he's carrying the sheep home, he's also rejoicing. We're told that he rejoices when he gets home and he's surrounded by his friends, but he doesn't wait until then. You know, while the shepherd's carrying the sheep home, he's restoring him, he's talking to the sheep. He's telling him, I found you, you know, I'm taking you home, you're going to be okay, or whatever. So he's working on his legs as he's carrying him, getting the circulation going again. But at the same time, he's constantly talking to the sheep. It's all part of the restoration process. You know, we all know what it's like to feel like we're on our backs, you know, with our feet sticking straight up in the air. We can't turn over. We're helpless to do that. And we know we've been vulnerable to attack because we've experienced it. But David says in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. Our shepherd watches out for our souls, all that is within us, because it affects so many other areas of our lives. And when we find ourselves in the midst of a bitter experience that and we need comfort and healing, or when the Lord has had to deal with us to bring us back to himself, or when we're just cast down, we're just overwhelmed by everything and we're on our backs, he comes to our side just like the shepherd, and he restores our soul. But how does he do that? Well, he restores our soul in the same way that a shepherd restores a cast sheep. He talks to us. And while he talks to us, he's carrying us and getting us ready to be back on our feet again. Psalm 19 gives several descriptions of God's word. And the first thing it says in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that word converting the soul is the same as the word in Psalm 23. It's restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So he restores our soul by talking to us through his word. You know, churches are getting away from the word of God because they don't want God's word to be the only solution. You know, they're saying, you know we need the Bible, but what else? And we can be guilty of the same thing. You know, when we're cast down, what do we usually do first? Maybe for most of us, we turn to those temporary things that make us feel good for a little bit, or maybe boosts our spirit. But those things can't restore our souls. You know, they can help us feel better, but they can't heal. Just like time can't heal everything. It's only found in listening to the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha, as he speaks to us through his word. You know, a shepherd constantly talks to his sheep in the restoration process. And that's the same way that the Lord restores our soul. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, we live in a broken world, but that's why one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And if we didn't know what it was like to need our souls restored, we'd never know how wonderful it is to be healed. If we never knew brokenness or pain, or if we were never cast down, we'd never experience the healing of Jehovah Rapha. And so when we find ourselves needing to be restored, that's our opportunity to listen to his voice and be healed. You know, it's not a place he ever wants us to be for very long. In fact, it's crucial that we're not left in that condition for long. But healing and restoration isn't something we have to just lie around and wait for. You know, all it takes for a sheep to be put back on his feet again is just the closeness of the shepherd and his voice speaking healing words to him alone. In Psalm 42, the psalmist who needed his soul restored kept asking himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? But he kept answering that question by telling himself, hope in God. You know, our world is too broken for us to have locket theology. You know, this little bitty picture of God that we pull out when times get tough. You know, he's much bigger than that. We have a God we can hope in who is the Jehovah God that we've been studying. And he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He can take what's been beat up, worn or rejected, and can make it useful again. He can restore our soul. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you are Jehovah Rapha. You heal us. You heal our hurts. You heal us physically, emotionally, and You are always there, ready to restore us when we've been cast down. We just thank you that you are this kind of loving shepherd that we read about in your word. We pray that we will turn to you first of all when we need healing. In Jesus' name, amen.